Today I want us to look at verse 3 in the first chapter of 1 Peter. Look at verse 3 with me. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what a wonderful statement that is. Just blessed or happy or praises unto the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that certainly ought to take care of the crowd that says that there is no God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They're all mentioned right here in these verses. We're saved through the sanctification of the Spirit. And then he says, blessed and through the blood of Jesus Christ, that's God's Son, who shed his blood on Calvary and then offered that blood, sprinkled that blood on the mercy seat in heaven to make an atonement. And then he said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He too is active in our salvation. And Peter gives praise and glory unto the God the Father. You say, well, preacher, then you are a Trinitarian. Why, by all means. By all means. You say, well, how can you explain that? The Bible says one God and one Lord. Yes, we have one God. We do not have a three-headed God. We have one God. We have a God, the God, Jehovah God, who reveals himself to us in three persons. You say, well, preacher, explain that to me. Well, if I was smart enough to explain the Trinity to you, then I would be as smart as God, and I'm not as smart as God, and since I'm not as smart as God, then you'd just better listen to him instead of me. I couldn't explain the Trinity, and I don't think anybody else can explain the Trinity. It's simply God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit taught clearly, plainly in the Bible, each one a separate person making one Godhead, and that is Jehovah God. Now, we'll not dwell there, even though we could for a long time. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, that verse, that latter part of that verse that I just read, is fraught with many, many precious, precious meanings and precious doctrines. All right, now, he has mentioned the elect. No doubt he has in mind the strangers who were scattered out of Jerusalem who were Jewish. In chapter 2 and verse 9 and 10 and 11 and 12, he lets us know that we Gentiles are included in this body and that we are elected, chosen of God to be a part of the body of Christ. Now, here he says that which according to his abundant mercy, according to his abundant mercy, because of his great mercy and his great love for sinners, God hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. Now, here the reference is based or directed primarily to Israel. You see, the hope of Israel was the sacrifices that were made upon the altar. The yearly sacrifices, the daily sacrifices, the turtle doves and the goats and the lambs and the bulls that were brought to be sacrificed. That was their hope. In other words, the Old Testament saints were saved just like the New Testament saints are saved. Saved by grace through faith in the finished work of Christ. You see, they were saved by looking forward to the finished work of Christ. We're saved by looking back at the finished work of Christ. All saved the same way, by faith. There is no other way that they could be saved. The election of Israel as a nation did not mean that every individual person in Israel would go to heaven or would live upon this earth during the 1,000 years or during eternity upon a new earth. It does not mean that. It absolutely does not mean that every person who is born an Israelite is going to be saved, as we use the term, or that they're going to live with God forever. The nation was elected of God. Now, he says, look, he says, according to his abundant mercy, you see, Israel failed in what they were supposed to do. he said, hath begotten us again. Now, this is begotten or brought into the world or taken on as a son. He has begotten us again. In other words, he has given the opportunity and the chance for every Israelite that was alive when they read this. And those that had trusted the Lord, of course, were included, but any other one that would trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior has an opportunity now, begotten us again unto a lively hope, not a dead sacrifice upon the altar looking forward to the coming Messiah, but looking back to the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, a lively, living, a living hope. Now, what is the living hope of the Christian? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. In other words, Jesus was the sacrifice. He was the Lamb of God that was placed upon the altar of the cross on Golgotha. He was the Lamb whose blood was shed to make an atonement for our sins. He was the Lamb that did not stay dead. On the third day, he rose again, and he talked with his disciples and taught them for 40 days, and then he ascended back to the throne of God and sat down at the right hand of God the Father. And it is by this hope of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead that we are saved. Consequently, we make no more animal sacrifices. Consequently, we do not cut ourselves with tongs or with knives, or we do not punish ourselves by crawling upon our knees on the dirt and on the ground and up the rugged stone stairs of some sort of a monastery or some sort of a shrine in some foreign country in order to go to heaven. We simply believe in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He hath then begotten us again. You see, not with the old sacrifices, but with his sacrifice, we become sons of God through believing on the living sacrifice. He is alive today. He is not dead. He is alive. And Christ was raised from the dead to complete the salvation that you and I enjoy so much today.